أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And جزاكم الله خير for joining us for day 5 of Little Ramadan Reminders. Today we'll be discussing the meaning of guidance or huda and what it means to live a life of hidayah. And we know that Allah Azza wa Jal guides and He misguides. We know that Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That is the book, there is no doubt in it, it is a guidance, it is huda لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, for those who have taqwa. Allah Azza wa Jal also says, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. And we have revealed the book to you as a clarification of all things, and a guidance, and a mercy, and a bushra, and a glad tidings for the Muslimin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى. It is Allah who sent His messenger with the huda, with the guidance. And of course, we know in Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us to make the dua, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us to the straight path. اِهْدِنَا, guide us. So the issue of hidayah and guidance is essentially the path of a Muslim. It is something that we seek and something that we must understand in order to be able to understand how to live a life of guidance, how to live according to the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what these ayat mean in a practical sense. The linguistic meaning of the word hidayah or huda, it actually has quite a few meanings in the Arabic language. One is to clarify something. Another is to bring something from one place out into another. Another one is it refers to a path that has been opened up or you can walk on. It also is used to refer to daylight or daytime. And of course, it's used to refer to guidance. So when you guide somebody forward. And it is the opposite of dalala, which is misguidance, which is to put someone into darkness. And we know there are two categories of guidance. Guidance to Islam, so for non-Muslims to become Muslim, and guidance within Islam, to understand what Allah Azza wa Jalla wants from us specifically, what ahkam we should follow and how to understand the deen and so on and so forth. And therefore, today we're going to be discussing the topic of guidance within Islam. The topic of guidance for non-Muslims to become Muslim, this is another topic related to discussing the aqidah and the proof of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the proof of the Qur'an and so on. But today we're going to focus on how does a Muslim live according to the huda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you think about the example of a guide who's, for example, if you were to go on an African lion safari and you were to have a guide showing you through dangerous areas that you've never been to, you have no idea how to navigate your way through it. You can go through trial and error, but you'll probably get very severely hurt. The guide is there to show you where to go and where to not go, to instruct you what to do and what to not do. If something comes to you, how do you behave? If you end up getting lost, what do you do? If the truck breaks down, what do you do? Essentially, the guide will give you instructions on how to deal with the unknown due to their experience. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلَ الْأَعْلَى. We know that Allah Azza wa Jal designed this universe, and what more dangerous place can you possibly live in than a place where the consequences of your actions aren't just to get bitten by an animal, but rather to be thrown into Jahannam or to be rewarded with Jannah. And so this world is a very, very dangerous place where we have to tread very carefully and make very, very well-informed decisions because there are very serious consequences. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us repeatedly in the Quran that He did not create the universe, la'ibin, essentially playing. He didn't design these things as a game. He didn't design this wasting time. This is a very, very serious place. And He's given us guidance to show us how to make it through safely. And as we said, the meaning of taqwa, to protect yourself from the dangers that exist in this world so that we make it on the Day of Judgment and we avoid the greatest danger of all, which is the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Jahannam as a punishment. And this guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is identified through the 5 ahkam, the 5 categories of ahkam. Number 1 is the fard, which is a hukum. If you do it, you are rewarded. And if you don't do it, then you are punished, or rather you are sinful. Then there is the haram on the other end of the spectrum, where if you do it, you're sinful, and if you don't do it, then you are rewarded. So it's the opposite of the fard. And then you have the mustahab, the recommended. Now people sometimes say this is liked or disliked or what, linguistically, but that's not what it means. The meaning of the mustahab means that if you do it, you get reward. And if you don't do it, you get nothing. You just miss out on the reward. There's no sin for not doing it. And the makruh is if you do it, then you get nothing. So it's the opposite of the mustahab. And if you don't do it, you get reward. And of course, we have the halal. And it's also known as the mubah. And the halal and the mubah is, if you can do whatever you want. You can drink a glass of water, you can have chicken or beef, you can have ice cream or a popsicle. You can do whatever you want within the halal. These things are open, and you're neither rewarded nor sinful for doing it either way. And this is how Islam organizes all areas of life. Some examples are, the fard is, for example, salat al-dhuhr wal-asr and so on, the 5 salawat per day. If you pray them, you are rewarded. And if you miss any one of them, you are sinful. An example of the mustahab is the sunnah of fajr, for example, or the sunnah of dhuhr, or the sunnah of asr and so on. The extra salah that you pray along with the fard. These ones, if you don't do it, you just miss out on the great ajr of doing them. And if you do it, then you get the ajr, the great ajr for doing them. The haram on the other end of the spectrum is, for example, if you see a crowd where people are free mixing, and somebody invites you to come sit with them. If you were to join, then you would be sinful. If you were to abstain and say, no, this is not permissible, I cannot free mix with women, then you, or for women to free mix with men, then you are rewarded for that choice. So that's the haram. As for the makruh, a simple example is if you are standing and you have a glass of water and you're about to drink, and you choose to sit down. Because the hadith says, لَا يَشْرِبَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ هُوَ قَائِمٌ. None of you should drink while they're standing. And therefore, it is makruh, according to some opinions, to drink while you're standing. And so if you choose to sit down, because you know it's makruh, you get ajr for drinking while sitting. But if you were to stand and drink, you just miss out on the ajr for sitting. And the halal, as I said, what do you want to have for iftar today? You want to have chicken, or you want to have beef? You want to have sushi? Which one? They're halal. They're all open choices. It's mubah for you to have whichever food that you want to eat. And this is how Islam organizes. This is how Islam guides. This is the hidayah. This is the huda of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is how we are guided in life, by having these categories for every single action in life. And what's most interesting is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, has organized everything in this world according to these 5 ahkam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We have left nothing out of the book. And what that means is that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us a solution for all problems. And you'll see that these are ayat that I've mentioned but in previous videos, and I'll repeat many, many times again. These are very, very key things to understand in our world today. That Allah Azza wa Jalla did not just organize our salah, or our ibadat, or just matters of marriage, or just matters related to riba. Allah Azza wa Jalla has organized everything. Every single type of contract, every single type of transaction, every single type of political situation, every single type of government structure, every single type of situation that we can come across in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a solution for it within Islam. And Islam is a guidance and a set of instructions. Essentially, it's like the guidebook for life itself. It instructs us on how to navigate through this world and how to best organize it. So through this understanding of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us ahkam for all things, what we must do is go back and look around. Look at our life. Look at all the things that we do. If we have not yet sat down and looked at and categorized everything in our life, every object, every action, the job that we have, our plans, our ambitions, if we have not categorized every single thing in our life according to these 5 ahkam, we should get practicing. Because this is the guidance of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Either we can ignore it or we can address it. And if we address it, it means by looking at things and categorizing things. So when you pray salah, or when you're reading Quran, you're making dua, so in the acts of ibadat, the acts of worship, knowing what is makruh, what is haram, what is fard, what is mustahab, what are the things that Islam requires, like in salah. What steps in salah are an obligation, and what steps in salah are mustahab, recommended. And what things could you do in salah that are makruh? These are things to know. That we have a clarity that if you make a mistake, you know whether this was haram that you need to go fix, or if this is a makruh that you can just move on and essentially not worry about. And the same for when it comes to business transactions. Before you want to form a partnership, knowing what's required of you from the shara, knowing what is haram for you in the shara. When you want to buy and sell, everything when it comes to business transactions, whether it's related to stocks, or whether it's related to insurance, or whether it's related to whatever might come our way, we need to know the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which one of the 5 ahkam applies to it. And the same with political affairs, when we're looking at the situation of the Muslims. What is going on, and how to understand it, and how to address it. When it comes to us analyzing the world around us, are we required? Is it a fard? Is it mustahab? How do we look at every single action in our lives according to the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And there are instructions from Allah Azza wa Jalla for every single one of those things. And therefore, the meaning of living according to the hidayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to refer to the Quran and Sunnah and understand how Allah Azza wa Jalla categorizes all these actions, not how we personally categorize them, but according to our personal desires or our personal perception of some harm or benefit in the action. Rather, we have to look at the Quran and Sunnah, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Taraktu fikum ma intamassaktum bihima lan tadullu ba'di abada. Kitab Allah wa sunnati." I have left with you two things that if you hold on to them firmly, meaning you refer to them exclusively for all of your guidance and clarity and so on, you will never be misguided. لَن تَضُلُّ. Remember we said that the opposite of huda is dalala. لَن تَضُلُّ. You will not be misguided after me. You will have hidayah if you follow these two things, Kitab Allah, the Book of Allah, and my Sunnah. And so we refer to the Quran and Sunnah. We must refer to the Quran and Sunnah if we want to live according to the hidayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't want to live according to the hidayah of Allah, well, that is an issue that you'll have to deal with after you pass away and you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the very best of meeting with Him on the Day of Judgment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to understand this deen deeply and understand the meaning of huda and to live a life of hidayah until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that path. And may Allah azza make the very best of our actions the last of them, and the very best of our day is the day that we meet Him. Jazakumullah khair, and inshallah we'll see you tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.